forever. Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and onomatopoeia. It's comic book commentary.
Hi guys, this is Victoria Rao.
This is Ralph Tedesco
from Zenoscope, and we're back with the third and final issue of The Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's the first time we're doing in the same room?
Yeah, we're actually in the same city in the same room. It's a weird feeling.
Yes.
But we get to actually together look at a page, which is a different feeling. So We start off with a flashback.
We're
on
the
line.
Same page. Get it? Sorry.
Not one.
Bad joke.
Are there ever
we
any good jokes? We start with a flashback.
The Watcher 3. Hopefully you
So where do we leave it off? We left it off with an issue 2.
Well, she found Robert.
Robert's dead. He gave her
Trevor,
a book.
Trevor.
Is dead.
He's dead.
Killed by something unknown. And has given her the book that was in the mysterious cabinet. Yes?
Correct.
Okay.
And now,
maybe we get
start
to see
with a flashback.
Yeah.
We get to see what happened in the past.
Yeah.
Which I do like this page and the layout and the art in it.
Yeah, this is really, really neat. And I love the way that they do the fire, the smoking house. So they're a bunch of, it looks like, some pilgrim-y types.
Pilgrim types speaking, what are they, is this Latin?
This is Latin.
But you're fluent in, right?
I do know Latin. I have a background in medieval history and so I know Latin. So this is actually, in reality, it's insider thing. They're just cursing. They're just basically saying, you know, fuck off and die. Pardon for the language.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, we didn't want to use, like, true incantations or go through and find things. So this is just me. I just had them swear
speaking
a lot.
Gibberish.
Speaking gibberish in Latin, just swearing a lot, calling the demons names.
That's cool.
And and they're swearing.
Maybe you shouldn't reveal that.
Well, I think it's cool.
And then, I like that last panel.
Yes, and so we have a nice inset of, and I think that was partly, it was like we were trying to figure out how we can parse out these reveals throughout the issue, because this is the big reveal issue.
Right, which is a challenge.
Which is a big challenge.
Because there's a lot of stuff in the background that we couldn't fit all in without it becoming just a monologue-y.
Exactly.
We're telling you guys everything. So picking and choosing those spots were tricky.
Yeah.
And then in page two, panel one, we learn a little bit.
Yeah, now we've got some caption, and this is... told from the point of view of these gentlemen who are very excited that they have set this house on fire. And we see that someone has escaped.
We learn that they tethered this demon to the earth.
Yes.
So we're not quite sure. So that's what we kind of figure this is Erica's house where this demon's kind of trapped in. And that's hence the reason she's seeing things and being sort of haunted, so to speak. We still don't know who's murdering people, etc.
Right. And we get this this woman has escaped. She's running through the woods, and she stops and carves a symbol into her leg with a Sharpie's rock, which is so cool.
Which is what one does.
I mean, that's the first thing I would do if I was escaping a burning house. But if you do, people go back, and I think people who are paying close attention to the symbols in this will see that that is the symbol that was on the floor in the first issue.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Page three. I also like page three a lot with the way it's laid out and the pictures.
Yes. And when I wrote, I felt so bad. I'm going to say, Babsy did a fantastic job with this. He is such a great artist. And I felt
he is really good.
So terrible about this page. I said, please don't hate me. I want to do a page of all these old photographs and paintings. And I gave him a bunch of references, but I knew I was going to be like, this is going to be such a pain for him to draw, but he just knocked it out of the park. It was great.
Right. It was good.
So we get all these different pictures all the way back to 1740. And then the 1880s, 1920s, and you see the house sort of, so the house was rebuilt. They call it the Black House.
The Black House.
The Black House was rebuilt. But there was death there a lot. And what I do also love is you see the evolution of this house that Babasu did. And I didn't tell him to do that. He did that on his own. It was beautiful. So in the first picture, there's like this stone wall. And in the 1800s, they have this like more wood fence. And then the fence is getting more substantial in the 1920s, all the way up to the modern house that you see. This is a callback to the first issue when you get all the way up to Erica and Lily.
And that's Robert taking
That's Robert taking that picture. And that was a callback to that that scene from that first issue.
Right. Robert is watching.
Watching what? Them.
Okay.
And there's so a name written on the bottom of that, which is interesting.
Now they're inside.
And then you find out that the whole time we've actually been. So the last thing we saw in issue two is that Robert gave her this book. And then this first three pages is actually the book that Robert gave her. So then we find out on this page, on page four, that those first three pages were Erica, Tamara, and Chris actually reading this book.
Right.
So and Tamara says it's a little dramatic, don't you think?
Right.
And we had a lot of discussion about this picture of this woman, and it's meant to be one of the Memento Mori types. If you've watched the movie The Others, you've seen The Others.
Very good movie.
Very good movie.
Creepy.
Very creepy. And
good
that's
twists.
Where I first found, I remember reading about those pictures that they took after people passed away.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh man, that's so macabre, and I got to bring that back at some point in some fashion. And something that I write. And so I got to bring it back here, which is really cool.
Look at you.
But a lot of times I found out that's interesting. They take those pictures because that would be the only picture, like especially for children, that might be the only picture they ever have.
Right.
Right. So they have to do, make sure they have one, which is, I mean, you know, it makes it a little bit less macabre.
Well, yeah. Back but then, also still they probably didn't think it was then.
Yeah.
Maybe they did. Yeah. Like, this is fucked up looking.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Are we now at the curse?
I don't know.
Okay. No one's censoring us, so let's continue.
Let's continue.
So
they're discussing. So
they discuss, and we go down here. Let's go to the next page.
Okay.
We don't have to walk through.
And we find out that the psychic who we've internally called it in the room canon is Maggie.
Maggie.
Is trying to get a hold of Erica because
she's
figured something out.
And it's not good. As we can see, it's not good at all.
Right. Somebody comes in. She says, go away. And she has all these tarot cards. And again, I love the tarot cards they did. We picked a specific deck. And then we also just swapped some stuff out to make it look cooler. Because there's a ton of tarot decks out there. And this one, I think, is Medieval Scalpini. But then we swapped out the death deck, I think it's called, for the Lovers.
Yes.
Which looks really cool.
Very cool.
And I mean, I don't know tarot all that well, so I had to do a bunch of research on what these different cards could possibly mean. And then a lot of it's by the pictures, because I thought this was, especially the Hangman, the Lovers, and the Devil would be very cool.
Another cool, really cool page by the artist.
Oh, yeah. And we get to see some of those symbols that we've seen before. She's found them in a book.
Great artwork.
Yeah.
Okay writing.
Just okay.
Okay writing, but great artwork.
The artwork is really where it's at.
Then she's trying to make a call, but too late.
Too late. Something got her. And I love this. And there was a lot of discussion about we took the blood out and put the blood back into that panel a couple different times.
This is very reminiscent of It Follows to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. On that beach scene?
Yeah, the beach scene.
Yeah. I never even thought about that.
But it's really cool. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what the purpose of them folding her up under the shelf. Maybe they wanted to tidy up after the murder. But
well, I think they didn't want people to immediately walk in and see something terrible.
Right.
They'll just fold her up so no one will know for a while. They're there. But she's got the Fool tarot card nailed to her forehead.
Great panel.
Yeah.
Now they're all in their uniforms.
Back at Erica's house. Shooting some hoops. I so love Dink when Chris shoots that basketball and there's that that sound effect right there.
He's not as good
as Tamara.
That's why Tanner got this scholarship.
Yeah, Chris isn't going anywhere. And now they've discussed, so Erica's doing some research. She's not interested in basketball at the moment. She's doing some research on this book that she got from Robert. And Tamara's into it. Tamara really wants to know what's going on because Tamara's been into this. Like, she's the one who originally brought out the Ouija board for her. And Chris is still going, is still trying to dissuade
them both. Chris is over it.
Yeah.
He's like, let's move on. And Tamara's sitting there. What's so funny?
Oh, this is another note. Some other inside kind of note thing that we talked about for a long time is that originally I had written, we talked about where could Tamara, because I think the Epic of Gilgamesh is something that I actually did read in school.
Who ever read that?
I did.
You were the only one.
Listen, all that stuff was cool.
You and Tamara.
Me and Tamara. Tamara
took a demon-centric class.
Well, and I think it was that was a joke.
Ancient history.
Ancient history, all the demons. But I also was sort of making a joke about, like, right. This is the kind of thing that maybe in a Catholic school, that would be the kind of stuff they would give you, would be Gilgamesh. Why not, right? But you and I had a lot of conversations about, like, so we added that joke in for Erica to say, wow, like, what history class were you
in? Yeah, like, what? Because that was our conversation.
Yeah, because that was our conversation, essentially.
Oh, didn't everybody take this class?
Right.
No.
Just me. No. Whoops.
And then,
but I think that's great. That's one of the tips that, like, when I talk to students about writing, is sometimes when we're having a conversation about why something isn't working, I say, well, just give that dialogue to give it to the characters. Have the characters talk about why it's not working. Then the audience actually won't question it. So if we have Erica questioning Tamara, okay, what history class are you in?
Right.
She's a stand-in for the audience actually questioning that, and then Tamara can make a joke about it, and that kind of does a little dialogue fix on that little hole.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you call out your own.
You call out your own hole.
Like, wow. So you're saying it is a hole.
It's not a hole. Listen, I studied it.
But
and I also speak Latin, so I don't know what to tell you. Anyway,
so Tamara's off to
do some more research. Crystal's mad about it.
And these two are back to playing some ball.
Mm-hmm.
Next page.
Yeah.
Getting cozy.
Yeah.
And then mom's up. Mom
is outside. This panel
cracks me up because why did mom have to take the turkey outside? We're not sure.
There was a lot of discussion about this page as well.
This was probably one that got biased.
Well, I mean, because partly, yeah, I think she was just supposed to maybe be.
She would be calling outside. She'd probably be peeking outside, like, hey, get dinner ready.
Yeah.
But she wanted to present Chris the turkey and kind of show off what her skills are about. Maybe
why wouldn't you, if you saw that dinner, why wouldn't you want to stay, right?
It seems like she really wants Chris to stay over.
Right, but there's also, I mean, this was another big discussion, so the next couple pages are a big discussion because we really had to start moving Erica away from that sort of wide-eyed Bambi kind of vibe that she had in the first two issues towards a harder, more action Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's partly requirements of plot, and that's partly requirements of, like, all the stuff that she's gone to. Characters obviously have to be on an arc and a trajectory. And so for her, she couldn't just be wide-eyed about everything the entire time.
You don't want your main characters to be passive throughout the entire process, and, like, you need them to start, like, being active. That's a good writing tip.
Yeah, that's a good writing tip.
So we needed that to start happening.
Right. So she couldn't necessarily just be passive with her parents throughout this entire little exchange here. So they wanted the big conversations that they want. It's her 18th birthday tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Lily wants to do
something. Technically
at midnight, she'll turn 18, which is a tidbit for later. And Lily wants to have a party. Erica doesn't really want to have a party because, you know, there's been things. And this conversation was like, why are they having a birthday party? There's like three people who have died in this town.
Right.
So
one of them right next door, and then the other's her best friend.
Right.
One of her best friends.
So again, we gave that dialogue to Tom and to Erica to say, like, hey, I don't think now is such a best time to be having parties. And Lily, of course, wants to play. You know, they said, oh, no, come on, man. Just a burglar. She wants to play down what happened to rob her across the street. We should consider an alarm system. It's practical. Tom's nothing but practical.
Right.
And then he gets in, well, he's still not entirely sure about Chris.
I like Tom's style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
nice
a shirt.
Shirt.
Yeah. Nice shirt.
Nice. I wonder if he picked that out or if Lily did.
It's a little shirt. I feel like he's the kind of guy who Lily picks out.
Right. Sort of you kind of picture him going to Sears to get his.
Sure.
Maybe.
I do like they've dressed for dinner. Like Erica and Chris did just yeah.
He likes to.
Erica's like put on a little off the shoulder number for dinner.
Right. Yeah. It's her birthday after all.
It is. So Erica wants to bring up the demon stuff that they're talking about. Just to kind of see what her parents say. Obviously her dad is a deacon. He might know something about this kind of thing. Chris thinks that she's being a jerk for doing that. And she mentions the name and, Lily drops a plate. Who knows if that's related or coincidence?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of
probably
times,
related since it's in the,
well, I'm going to say, I feel like coincidences happen all the time.
It's true.
No, is that not a thing?
I mean, Maybe the artist just decided, I'm going to have her drop a plate here.
Yes, the artist decided that for
yes.
sure.
Yes. Never know. It's just an accident.
It's just an accident. She drops, listen, accidents happen.
So
she dropped a plate, and she takes off. Tom puts the kibosh on Chris hanging around, and sends him off home. Chris, again, reiterates how nice Lily's always been. So, and Tamara texts and says that they want to meet later.
Right.
So, Chris heads off, and Lily comes to apologize and wants to give her a little hot chocolate, the kind of band-aid for all of Lily's shortcomings, hot chocolate. Right?
It's true. We're on the hot chocolate page.
Yep.
Okay.
So now they're texting, and she has to wait until, Erica needs to wait until her parents fall asleep. She's changed into some dark clothes, so she's going to go sneak out, change from her little off-the-shoulder number. And she needs to give a couple more minutes so her parents will fall asleep, and then she's going to sneak on out of there. But oh no, she can't because she
feels lightheaded.
And she passes out.
And then here's Chris. What's he up to?
Chris is waiting in front of. Is that? I think it's either the school library. I think it's this library. And Tamara comes into the car. And Chris is being evasive. And right. then when she looks out the window.
Boom.
Hammer
up.
Hammer.
Oh, crack. Eyes roll to the freaking back.
He whacks her right in the head. Chris, what are you doing?
Chris is.
What did Chris just do?
Is Chris the killer?
Oh.
I like this panel a lot.
Her crashing. Oh, my God. The glass coming out the reader is just
good panel.
Amazing.
Tamara does not look too good.
And again, this is another, like, to me, interesting discussion about, because there's a lot of discussion throughout this entire issue about blood and how much blood to show and that kind of thing. And so initially we had to be very cautious about, she is getting hit in the head with a hammer. How much blood are we going to show in this panel?
Yeah.
Which we'll come back later.
Yes.
So now Erica is in bed and we see in the clock, it is midnight. So she is officially 18.
Mm-hmm. 18.
And her eyes pop open.
She's an adult.
And here comes the monster.
Monster.
Here it's coming. And on this splash page, reveal! Ta-da! Listen, dear listeners, I have had pneumonia for the past week, so I am on steroids, and it is real fun.
Yes. She's on steroids. She's super strong, though. So she's lifting me over her head as we're doing this.
It's only a celebration of this gorgeous reveal.
Lily has demon face. We kind of probably, you know, you may have saw this coming in the beginning of the issue when she's like, this looks like my mom. You kind of start.
There's hints throughout it. She's dropping plates.
You're kind of going, something's up with mom. Anyway.
There's a lady who ran away from the demon. And lo and behold, it is in fact Lily holding that cup of hot chocolate. Happy birthday.
Mom? She doesn't know if she's dreaming yet.
Right
now.
Lights come on.
So she kind of thinks she is.
Yeah. And she's totally paralyzed. She can't move. And it turns out mom has been in on it the whole time. And so has Chris. Chris shows up and
Lily's not too thrilled. I mean,
no, Erica's not too thrilled. Lily looks very thrilled.
Lily's very excited.
She had sent Chris to go.
Her plan is coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm. So Lily had sent Chris to go kill Tamara, and Chris says that he's done it. And Erica's very upset, and the mom comes to, they're going to
not sure smother her. Chris, yeah, why? They're not going to kill her.
No, they're just going to make her pass out. Yeah, they're just going to smother her for a few minutes till she passes out.
Okay.
And then they move her downstairs. They
move her to the bucket of blood downstairs. Right.
And some blood drips in her head, which again is a callback to the very, very, very beginning of issue one, where she's dreaming
and it's dripping on her. This time
it is absolutely real.
Really dripping on her, and they look up and you see
it's Tom.
Tom. And his shirt's ruined.
That beautiful shirt is totally ruined.
I don't think Sears will take that back. But you never know.
You know, Nordstrom's is a great return policy, so.
Well, there you
depends
go.
On where I get
bought. Macy's might. Macy's might.
I do love, so the biggest thing for me in this one was that he's in the same pose as the Hanging Man tarot card, which I thought was very, very, I was specified and very, very cool.
And then Lily comes in.
She's got blood up to her elbows.
She's like all kinds of thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Holding her hands up. It's time.
And all these symbols start appearing all over the house. And I love this idea because we played so much with the idea that the house itself had history and the house itself was a place where, and we find out later that Lily had been returning to periodically through over the centuries. I'm spoiling, but you guys have all read it, I'm sure. Hopefully. And so I wanted to show that like this has been something that has been planned for a very long time. So when she starts this ritual, all these symbols appear everywhere all over the house, covering all these surfaces, and they look really, really cool. And then the black circle starts to appear.
And then mom starts kind of revealing a little bit of what her plan is.
Right.
She kind of without monologuing the plan.
Right. She kind of tries to plead to Chris, like, you know, she realizes her mom is pretty far gone because she saw her mom be very demon looking. And so she tries to plead with Chris, you know, to help her. But Lily makes it clear that Chris is on her side and always has been.
Right. And it's clear, like, Lily's been getting it on with Chris, too.
Yeah. Or has promised happening down the line.
Promise some loving once he hits her.
I feel like that's probably a good motivator for teenage boys.
Sacrifice the daughter, essentially. Is what we'll learn.
What we're learning is that what she has promised Chris is that when they bring this demon back, that it will... make Chris into a superhero, essentially. He'll get eternal life. The demon will go into
him. Which is not really true.
Which is not true at all. Chris, my man, like, you should know that a demon is probably lying to you.
Chris isn't the brightest
bulb. He's absolutely not the brightest bulb. But
he came and killed not everybody can, with a hammer. Not, she didn't see it coming. We'll get to that.
That's a spoiler! Okay.
So
we're still giving away a little bit of backstory here. And telling about... So we find that Lily is the one that killed Robert. And Stacy and Derek, but that Chris was the one who killed Tamara. And she says you're both fucking monsters, and I desperately wanted to put Lily saying language, dear, but I thought that wouldn't fly. I did put it in my first draft.
You should stop struggling. She's kind of like, you know. Yeah, well, Chris is trying to, like, explain, hey, this is a good thing.
Right. But
he's too dumb to realize
that. Yeah, exactly. Erica is not dumb. But Lily needs, what Lily really needs from Erica and what she has missed for the past several times she's tried this is that she needs somebody who actually has the same powers that she does.
Mm.
Her own child who has these same powers. And so she tries to wake the powers up in Erica by acting like she's going to kill her.
Right.
And it works.
And it's on her 18th birthday.
And the powers are activated, and Lily is thrilled. Erica, not so much.
No. Erica doesn't know what's going on. Erica didn't know she was part demon.
Right. And I don't think it necessarily yet she knows what's still, because it's still very confusing. So Lily starts the incantations, and again, the incantations are, this is now a mixture of Latin and Enochian. Don't roll your eyes at me.
Oh my god.
It's Latin, Enochian, and Assyrian.
Dothraki.
Not Dothraki. That's I'm sure trademarked or something. I don't know. Copyrighted.
Okay, it's not Dothraki.
It's I think it might be. I think I use a little Assyrian.
Oh,
let me tell you. Let me tell you. We're Tolkien.
Anyway,
all kinds of languages.
She's language dropping, guys.
I love it. I love the languages. So then, the demon comes out, and the demon goes into Chris. It's starting to take over Chris's body.
And the idea is, like, basically, Erica, by sacrificing her own blood, this will allow the demon to untether from the house and enter a new human body, and they can be together.
Right.
So that's a demon love story.
It's a demon love story. Makes sense. Absolutely.
But then Tamara comes in to save the day. Like, she's a badass.
Yeah, Tamara is the most badass of all the people in this.
Right.
And she stabs Lily right in the heart. The ritual is interrupted. The demon drops Chris and retreats back to its little circle. It didn't work. You know, Chris is asking what happened. Did it work? It did not. He did not. Did not work.
Chris is too eager to have his body taken over.
Yeah. So Tamara and Erica start to escape. Lily, a badass herself, pulls that knife right out of her chest.
Right.
Pulls. And then gives Chris a hard time.
She's
go, like, get her. What are you doing?
She's like, she starts realizing here that she recruited an idiot.
Yeah.
And then
she drops the lock. She decides there's nothing else to do. So she drops the locket into the bucket of blood, which starts to make the blood boil.
Right.
And she starts bringing back the demon in, not to tether into a new human, but in his original form.
Right. And even though he's, I guess because he's tethered to the house, he can still.
Yeah. He can still come out. And which is what he's been doing.
Come out and play. If he's summoned, I guess.
But he can't leave the house until he can get into Chris.
Right. He can't go anywhere.
Right.
He can't get far.
So she's bringing him out of the house so that he can help her, you know, get Chris.
She needs some backup because Chris is an idiot.
Poor Chris. So the girls are running. They run upstairs. The whole house is now starting to break apart with these symbols and this, you know, black smoke and demon goo. They have a little moment, and Tamara, being the badass that she is like, okay, can we survive this first, and then you can give me hugs.
Right. And Chris catches up.
But Chris is continuing to be an idiot.
Right.
And so this was a thing that I really did love. They're basketball players. She says alley-oop.
Alley-oop.
Alley-oop. And she says it's small, and she tosses that knife straight to Erica. Erica nabs it, and kabam, right through Chris's ear.
Luckily, again, Chris is not the brightest. That's a nice.
So that's why I went right through. There's nothing stopping that knife.
Nothing stopping him.
Oh, that's so mean.
Poor Chris. He deserved. Chris,
he did not deserve better because he tried to murder Tamara.
Chris deserves this.
He did. But then Erica is a little bit concerned.
And Chris is kind of like he puts himself in a hole here anyway because he can't kill Erica right here because it would fuck up the whole.
Right, he knows
the whole thing. So, like, he doesn't really have much leverage.
Mm-mm.
So he has to take one to the head.
Right.
Oh my God, Chris, what have I done? You've just stabbed him in the head with a knife.
Yes, you did.
Clearly, so then, with your demon strength.
And then they grab the knife. So this was interesting too, because this one thing we had to go back through and do is we'd do like a knife tracking thing, because so many times the knives were used to stab somebody and then dropped and picked up and then stabbed and dropped it. So then we had to go and make sure there was two knives and they were get switcherooing all the time. So that was really interesting. We had to go through and like tag all the different knives and which knives are being used when.
So now Lily's even more pissed because now what body can she use?
Right. So now she's lost the body for her demon lover.
Which, she was hoping would be Chris and she could have this young dude to have her lover inside of. It was all going to work out so well.
Yeah, but it's but she's too far gone into this. Now Erica knows what's up. She can't turn back, so she's got to keep going for it.
So now she's got an audible.
Right.
I mean, I guess she's at this point thinking maybe Tamara's body.
Maybe.
Gotta use somebody.
She's got to do something. And so the girls go into your room because it's what the smartest thing to always do is to go to a room where you're trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Always in a horror movie, that's the best place to go is to run up the stairs instead of out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We know this. We've watched movies. So they make into the room. Tamara now explains that she actually did look up all this stuff and she kind of explains what happened with the Watchers. What we saw in the beginning was real, that those demons were this demon and Lily, and that they were able to trap one of them, but the female demon escaped. They start drawing this protection symbol on the floor with the blood that's from Tamara's hammer wound in the back of her head and Erica's neck wound and the other blood that's all over, Chris's blood that's all over them.
They got a lot of blood. They got a lot of blood.
We have that conversation of like, do they have enough blood to make this symbol on the floor? And we're like, you know, they've got a lot of blood all over them. So, and then we get the really cool Lily demon reveal at the end of this page. She comes in and she is full lady demon.
Right. Your mom's a demon. Nice line. Your mom's a fucking demon.
Your mom is a demon. Well, Erica says that she's a demon. And so that Tamara grabs the book. She starts saying the same lines that the Watchers said in the beginning.
Right.
Lily makes it clear that infants, she calls her a weak mewling infant, that humans, you know, there's nothing they can really do. She's too strong at this point, and she's come too far. And when she says that Erica's destiny is written in blood, that triggers a bunch of flashbacks for Erica. Because
she's like, I created you, I bore you. I bored you.
Moms do.
She's admitting like Erica is her child and she raised her just for this, which is kind of messed up.
Yeah, for this.
And she's played this role of loving mom for 18 years just to sacrifice her.
Right. And that's something that we talked about too, because as we saw in those photographs, it's something that Lily's actually done a few different times and it has not worked for her yet. So Lily being a very, very old demon, the 18 years of raising Erica is really kind of a blip to her, right? Someone who's been around for thousands of years. But not so much for Erica as it's her whole life. So, but that sort of words trigger these flashbacks in Erica. So Erica remembers Robert telling her these things, born in darkness, trapped in shadow, risen in blood. And then Maggie telling her to open her eyes. Mm-hmm. She's saying they tried to warn her. They watched. And then she realizes that maybe they weren't necessarily watching Lily. They were watching her. Mm-hmm. And then we get this, one of my honest to God favorite panels, which is her in bed. And we've seen her in bed so many times, scared out of her mind, as these dark tentacle things are, the smoke and wisps are coming towards her. And she's always frightened. And in this panel, she's smiling. And she says, it's always been me. And that's like, no joke, that's like one of my favorite panels. I love that's the moment that she takes kind of ownership of who she is. Not to the extent where she's really processed it, but that she understands there's something inside her and that she can use it.
She can use it to kill this bitch.
Yep. And so then she gets ready. She starts saying,
she starts using it. And mom's like, how do you even know these words? And she doesn't realize like, hey, I talked to some people. I talked to Robert.
She's read all this stuff already.
Some stuff. I've been reading up, ma.
But this is also the language within the concept of this world. It's the language of this demon world. It's the language that Lily was using to do the ritual. And so by virtue of being part of this world, Erica knows it.
Right. And I do think it's cool that like the risk of on Lily's behalf of like, and she probably knew this, but didn't think it would ever come to fruition, is like by having a child, knowing that this is the one person that could also destroy her.
Right.
But she had to have her in order to release her.
Right.
Her lover, so to speak, from his tethered state.
Well, I wonder. I mean, because I think that was something. I wonder if Lily, because Lily had never got to this point before. So did she even know maybe she did not know that Erica could destroy her.
She
Lily views this as being some kind of privilege that Erica has, a privilege to be sacrificed in this way. Of course, Erica doesn't see it that way. So now she's burned away the last remnants of the human Lily's body, and we're left with just the full demon. And that's when she starts pushing the full incantation through. Mm-hmm. And Lily reminds her that they tried to destroy, that the Watchers tried to destroy them once and they failed. And what makes Erica think that she's better than them. And so Erica has this flashback and now Erica knows she needs Tamara's help.
Right.
And that she herself with Tamara's help are powerful enough to stop these demons. And then we get this super cool page or panel of them just blasting these demons out of the world. There they go. Check you later.
And maybe like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe something. I forget what I was going to say.
You were just blown away by the beauty of that panel. And here they go back, getting sucked back into the thing.
Another cool freaking panel. By,
yeah.
Babasu. Babasu. I always mess
up. Yeah. And color Babasu. By Fran. And I love the coloring on all this as well.
And then that panel is just, the page is amazing.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
What the hell just Lights happened? Tamara's like, okay, this was messed up.
Yeah. So Tamara is like still thinking to herself, what the heck? How did you do that? And Erica doesn't honestly really know. She's really still pretty.
She's processing the fact that she's half demon.
And she just killed her mom.
And she killed her mom. And her dad's dead.
And her dad's already dead. And they, Erica's like, well, now should we call 911? But how are they ever going to explain this? So that was a big conversation. It's like, it's always whenever you write these things, it's put your character in a situation and then see how they're going to get out of this. In this situation, what would be their next step? There's no way they could call the police. There's no way they could call someone and say, okay, they've got blood like all over them. She literally stabbed Chris in the head. There's no, her mom's just disappeared into thin air at this point, right? Into a pile of dust. So they're like, no one can ever, and then they're going to ask questions about Erica. So rather than explain it, they burn that shit to the ground.
Burn it down.
They burn the whole thing down.
When in doubt, burn it down.
Yep.
I guess. Or something like that. Don't try this at home.
Please don't burn all
that. Then we get to months later.
Now we're in the epilogue.
And we're somewhere.
This is Tamara's house. So this is outside Tamara's house. So now it's Tamara's. Erica's packing up. Presumably she's been staying with Tamara because she burned her house down.
Secretly.
No
one's come looking for her.
No one's come looking for her yet. And she's taken off. Tamara wants to go with, and Erica won't let her because Tamara's got a basketball scholarship, and she thinks that one of them should have a normal life.
Right, go play basketball.
Yeah.
I got to figure out my demon side.
Erica knows that a normal life is sort of out of the cards for her, right. Out of the tarot cards for her
right.
At this point. But she's got this book, and she wants to basically figure out who she is, what this is, can she control this, can she do something. So they drive past, so she takes off, they hug goodbye, and she takes off, and she drives past her old house, which is still burnt to the ground. Burnt to the ground.
They really haven't done a good job of cleaning this.
It's very true.
A few months later,
if you feel like they would probably have that much left.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, who owns this house? I'm sure it's very confusing. Estate, you know, probate's difficult. I don't tell you.
But then at the last panel, as you know, she's coming to the, she's the nightmare.
This is
she's
what
the
I love.
Monster and a nightmare.
Right, and which I love cool that line.
That's Thank your you. Best line.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Even better than Language Erica.
Language Erica.
But I love that. That she's. This isn't necessarily a happy ending, even though they beat the demon. They freed Erica from whatever this was entrapping her. She now has to deal with this darkness inside her because isn't necessarily a good thing.
Right.
She's half demon and she's got powers that could hurt people. So now she says she's the monster in her nightmares and she's got to go figure out who the heck she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the end.
That's it. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Yeah. And if you did enjoy it and you think that this story should continue.
Oh my God. Write you your local congressman.
Or you could tweet Zenoscope Entertainment at Zenoscope on Twitter and tell them how much you liked this.
You loved it.
Tell us you liked it. Say, hey, we want to know what happens next to Erica. We want to see where is she going. What are these washers she's going to run into?
What's the deal?
What's next? Is she on the road fighting demons?
Do we bring Tamara back?
Yes, we do bring Tamara back because she's amazing.
Does she leave college to help?
I feel like people are gonna have to tweet us and figure and find out, right?
I think so.
Thank you so much for listening to this, you guys. We hope you enjoyed this series and issue 3 particularly, and that the reveals were interesting and hopefully somewhat unexpected. And we would love to do this again for whatever next series we got on deck.
So, hopefully you'll have us back.
Yeah. So I'm Victoria Rao.
I'm Ralph Tedesco.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye. Forever!
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. And mastered by Anna Rubinova. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.